Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Jane is a 40-year-old middle-class married woman who is suffering from an unidentified illness. She's feeling cold and uncomfortable. Her skin is pallid, her nails are brittle, and food just doesn't taste right anymore. Even simple things are hard to do. When she tries to stretch for yoga, her bones seem to crack. But when she asks her friends, her husband or her doctor about what's going on, they all seem to think it's that change in life that all women go through. But what no one realizes is it's not her feelings, it's not a change in life, it's her lack of life. Literally, she's dead. Maybe that's why she feels so cold. Cold is a dark and eerie look at one woman's body as told through the lens of a comic horror movie. It's also about the diminution of women's health concerns and the gaslighting of legitimate problems. It's funny, it's spooky, and very weird. It's the work of multi-award-winning Toronto-based producer, writer, director Liz Whitmire, whose work has been seen on CBC, CBC Gem, and at the Whistler Film Festival. Multi-talented, she's also known for her acting and stand-up comedy. Cold is having its world premiere on November 25th at the Isabel Bader Theatre in Toronto at Mournful Mediums program at BITS, Blood in the Snow, the Canadian Horror Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to have Liz Whitmire here with me via Zoom to tell us more about Cold. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks so much for meeting with me. So Cold is a comedy horror movie based on a premise that we can die with no one aware of it. Why don't they know she's dead? Why doesn't she know she's dead? Or does she?
The founding concept of the film is that Jane died last week and just didn't notice. So it's an exaggeration of this phenomenon where women in particular, but people generally, can put themselves at the bottom of their priority list to such an extent that they don't notice when something is terribly, structurally, existentially wrong with them. And it takes a big event, and for Jane, this big event is her body literally coming apart, for the perspective to shift, for that person to notice, oh, I need to pay attention to me now.
And what inspired this film?
Well, that's a heavy question. I had a real bad mental health episode, just like a 2-week period where I was physically freezing. I felt physically weak and just desperately depressed. I had a really bad case of the Februarys, basically. Seasonally affected and just feeling very grim about the world. And then this idea popped into my head of what if I'm dead? What if I died? And I didn't pay enough attention. And now I have to figure out how to operate. And that moment of what if opened a little story window in my head. And I used that story to climb out of the hole.
Do you think you are Jane? Are you someone like Jane?
I'm not tidy. I'm not clean. I'm a messy, disorganized person. I will say that I, as a parent, I've certainly put myself last on the list. So I can relate to that. Historically, the medical establishment has not paid real good attention to women's health concerns across the board, not just women who are hitting the change of menopause and perimenopause, but even young girls don't get appropriate medical treatment because there's this void of research for women and girls.
So did this idea, I mean, it came for you in February, but did it also coincide with the pandemic, or is it separate from that?
It's related to the pandemic in that we're having this cultural moment where we're being told that the pandemic is over when it is provably not over. People are still becoming very ill. People are still suffering from long COVID. But everywhere you look, people are operating as though it's 2019 and everything's fine. And that cognitive dissonance certainly fed into how I wrote this film, because I felt like I was going crazy. Like I can see I can see this is true, but everyone around me is saying this other thing is true. And it felt like a really big mismatch.
Talk about, I mean, I use the term gaslighting a bit loosely, but she really is being sort of lied to, or had the wool pulled in front of her eyes about her condition. Can you talk about that in terms of medical issues? Because a large part of the short film is her meeting with a doctor who's just full of reassurances and stuff. Don't worry.
Peter Callahan plays our doctor, who is condescending and inept and kind of the embodiment of everything that's wrong with the medical establishment. And he is literally gaslighting her. He's actually telling her things. He's telling her that her own experience, as she's reporting it, is not true. So she tells him what she's experiencing. He says, yeah, that couldn't possibly happen. If that were true, this would be a catastrophe. So obviously it's not true. And that's, even as we were shooting that scene, all of the female crew gathered around the monitor, sharing stories of times that this kind of exchange had happened to them in real life. And I can report that, you know, in my very early 20s, I was on birth control and would go to University Health Services and say, I'm desperately unhappy. I'm crying all the time. Like, my body is not comfortable. I think it's the birth control. And every time I went, the doctor would say, give it another 4 months. Just wait. It can't possibly be the birth control. That side effect isn't listed here. It's probably something else. You're just anxious. Drink some more water. Do some yoga. And I stopped the birth control on my own. And that immediately felt better. It was absolutely that particular medication causing the problem. So that's the kind of thing, you know, women go to the doctor, they say, it hurts when I do this. This part of my body isn't functioning. I feel terrible. I don't know what's wrong. And a lot of the time, what they hear from this medical professional who's supposed to be an authority and have their best interests at heart is, it's all in your head. Stop being so anxious. Try to calm down. If you practice better self-care, you'd be fine.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm speaking with Liz Whitmire about her new film, Cold. Now, I understand you have some background in stand-up comedy. Is that why, or why did you infuse as much humor as spookiness in this at a largely horror film festival? Why is humor important?
It's really interesting that you say that. When I was pitching this film to my potential collaborators who then jumped in, the women who read the pitch responded generally with, oh my God, this is horrifying. What a terrible story. What? It's heartbreaking. Are you okay? And a lot of the men that I pitched to responded with, oh, this is hilarious. I love it. So it was interesting to see that very divided response. And that response has remained true throughout the script stage, throughout shooting, throughout the edit. I wrote it as a tragedy. And from the inside of the experience, it's tragic. But looking from the outside, I can, of course, also see the humor.
There are some scenes that are intentionally for the laughs, right?
Yes.
Like the manicure scene.
Yes.
Kind of. I mean, it's hideous, but funny.
It is hideous. The manicure scene in particular speaks to an experience that I and several women that I've encountered. I think it's a common experience of being in beauty or spa contexts and feeling like you have to apologize for existing, because there are estheticians in the world who will look at you, find you lacking, and be like, well, you need these 18 products. You're wrong. All you know, look at your eye bags, look at how terrible you are in all these different ways, and then try to upsell you all the products. And that scene in the salon is very much a distillation of that sensation. So this whole film is like a physical manifestation of a feeling. Of feeling, you know, broken, wrong, and out of sync with the world.
Some of the most jarring special effects aren't what most people call special effects. There's no, like, people disappearing or computer stuff, but rather they seem to depend on excellent special effects makeup and sound effects. So can you talk about the importance of the makeup and sound effects in conveying the horror of this movie?
Yes. My wonderful special effects makeup artist Natalia Andreopouzo came into the vision really seamlessly. She does a lot of creature makeup, a lot of like gore and wound makeup. And we had a lot of conversations about how this decay that Jane is experiencing is not like wet, maggoty, actual corpse rot. It's more like the kind of rot you would find on a forest floor. It's like a dry rot. And she was able to translate that into the makeup look. So you'll see there's lichen growing out of Jane's nostril at one point, and there's like mildew on various bits of skin. And that, so in combination with Natalia's beautiful makeup work, Cabot McNenley, my excellent DP, and I worked together closely to talk about denying the camera. Because when you don't see the whole monster until the very end in any horror movie, the suspense is more effectively conveyed. A monster you can't really see or that you don't fully understand is scarier because your imagination can fill in all the blanks. So that combined with this kind of slow creeping decay that happens throughout the film, I'm thrilled with how effectively it conveyed the feeling I was trying to convey. And visually it ended up being something I'm really thrilled to share with the world.
One very popular and common genre is the zombie genre, the walking dead, the still living dead. This takes a very different path. What made you turn away from the expected, if someone is still alive but dead, but in no way a zombie?
It's interesting that you asked that question. A friend of mine, I didn't realize I'd written a zombie movie, and it's not really a zombie movie.
It's not.
But a friend, I was trying to figure out the genre, because it is a bit of a mix of genres. It's comedy, it's horror, it's body horror, and it's a bit zombie. And my friend said, well, of course you can't pin it down. This is an emotional zombie movie. This is a zombie movie from the point of view of the zombie, which is an interesting take on it for sure. I didn't set out to write a zombie movie at all. I was just interested in exploring what it would actually feel like if your body stopped, but your brain didn't.
Cold is a short film, but an excellent one, as I've said. But I know a lot of people make short films have in mind something bigger. So I'm just wondering, did you make this film with the idea of expanding it into a feature?
Absolutely. Yeah, that is, wheels are in motion. I'm actively pushing the big rock up the hill to try to make a feature of Cold happen.
Because there's way more than the usual amount of backstory in this that begs to be filled in.
It's a rich world, and I think there's a lot more to explore. It's a really fertile topic. There's a huge amount of range of experience and a huge amount of impact that being dead will have on your life.
Yep. And I recommend people see the short because it does accomplish that. It's a, like I said, Cold is a weird and funny film. Thanks so much for talking about it.
Thank you so much, Daniel. It's been a pleasure.
Liz Whitmire's new film, Cold, is premiering at the Blood in the Snow Film Festival next Saturday, November 25th. Check that one out. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.